Welcome to Leveling Up with Lindsay, the podcast where we dive into leadership, small business, and everything in between. I'm Lindsay, your host and the proud owner of White Peony Boutique, a space created to empower women, build confidence, and foster meaningful connections. Whether you're an entrepreneur, a mom, a friend, or someone just looking for a little inspiration, this is your space to feel seen, supported, and inspired. Join me as we share stories, strategies, and a little bit of life's chaos while navigating what it truly means to level up in starting a business, relationship, and personal growth. So grab a cup of coffee, get comfy, and let's level up together. Today's guest is someone whose kindness and passion you feel the moment you meet her. I've had the chance to work with Sarah briefly in the past when I had my own metabolism tested, and what stood out to me right away was how incredibly kind, patient, and intentional she is. She's here to connect with you, understand your goals, and walk alongside you in your health journey absolutely free of judgment. As I continue on my own leveling up journey, one of the most important things I've learned is that you can't pour from an empty cup. Your health, your energy, and mindset absolutely have to come first. Sarah is someone who deeply understands that, and her work is a reminder that caring for your body is one of the most important investments you can make. Her passion for helping others stems from her own transformation, and now she pours that purpose into the lives of so many. She's a mom, a wife, an entrepreneur, and a wellness mentor who is building something incredibly special through her business, Metabolic Macro Mentoring. From metabolism testing to mindset shifts, from grocery store tips to emotional breakthroughs, she leads with heart, and she shows us what it means to offer people hope, not judgment. I'm so excited to welcome Sarah Boucher to the show. So welcome.
Thank you very much. It's quite an honor. Thank you.
So I've gone through my own journey with you in the beginning, a very brief journey, but you absolutely inspire so many people with your journey of health mentoring, and how you approach it is very, very honorable and very intriguing, honestly. So tell me a little bit about why you started mentoring in the health and nutrition from the beginning.
In 2019, I had my own metabolism tested and did a six-week training. I had success with counting macros in 2019, and then I decided in 2023, when my baby was going to go off to college, that I needed to have a purpose of my own. I decided to do a bodybuilding competition. And with that, you have to count macros. Mm-hmm. And I was starting to have success in getting leaner. And then a lot of people were asking me, oh, what are you doing? And then I would explain that I'm doing a bodybuilding competition. They would ask, how are you losing weight? How are you getting leaner? I would explain it's through counting macros. And then I decided to just pay that forward and teach other people how to do the same.
It was so cool prior to even talking to you about having my metabolism tested, hearing kind of that little snippet of your journey. It was very interesting. I could tell instantly the passion behind kind of what you're talking about, because I think when you walk the walk and you lived through it, and I think you said to me, if I can do it, anybody can. There was something about the way you approach. I was like, it seems so simple. Like and it is. I think the biggest thing is we really overthink all of the health and wellness. Don't you agree?
I do agree to a certain extent. And it's also shutting off like the outside noise a little bit. When I decided to do a bodybuilding competition, there was a lot of stigma. And I would just say, well, I'm not doing it for you. I'm doing it for me.
Amazing.
And that coming from somebody that was a people pleaser and just like the good girl kind of thing, like just trying to stay in your lane and just try to keep everyone happy. That was empowering to just do something for myself and to actually say it out loud.
Amazing. The number one thing that you said there that absolutely fuels me and I think is really difficult for anyone our age or as a mom, as a wife, when you finally turn the script and you say, you know, I need to do this for myself, it is incredible what you do for others after you pour into yourself first. I'm going to take this back a little bit because you're an RN as well.
Yes.
Correct?
Mm-hmm.
And you're known to be a huge patient advocate. How does that same compassion carry into your health and coaching work? Because you've walked the walk, you turned into yourself, but going through the journey and coming back, I'm curious to know, let's take it back from the beginning again, and we'll get deeper into the you part. But just as far as being a patient advocate and why you decided to turn to other people and give your advice even further, putting those two worlds together?
I work in surgery, a nurse in surgery. The patient is anesthetized. They're asleep. They can't speak for themselves. We need to be their advocate. We need to speak up for them and their safety. Also, they're having surgery. They're nervous. It's not something they do every day. We need to put ourselves in that situation as nurses and as staff in the operating room. I try to do the same when people come over to my home and sit on my couch and they're scared. They're scared to start something new. They're scared of failure. So I really just sit and I make eye contact and just really try to sit with them and empathize with them as to what this must feel like to be them.
I love that. You definitely create a space, a comforting space, judgment-free, obviously. But I could feel that connection when I came to you briefly. Yeah, I was nervous. I'm just going to bring it back to my own. I was nervous as heck because I was like, I don't know what I'm getting myself into. But when I sat there, you have this incredible ability to not only connect with someone, to like instantly make someone feel calm. And I think in your line of work, in your career, and now in your business, that definitely goes hand in hand. So I think that's pretty incredible. So as far as making people comfortable in your space and connecting, what is the next step or your next goal when someone reaches out to you? You know, when you say you needed to turn and do something for you, obviously you had great success with that. So what is your goal here when you meet with people, when you feel like you want to pour into somebody else?
Number one, I would love for them to take this on as a lifestyle. It's their choice, but it's real food. And I think so many times as moms, we feel we need to do something quick, something fast, and it involves restriction. And then that shows to their children that mom is kind of eating a meal replacement bar in the corner while they're eating the real food. And to me, I would love for people to want to do it as a lifestyle because it's teaching the offspring, it's teaching others how to eat real food and have it be a lifestyle.
I couldn't agree with you more. I think we put a lot of pressure on ourselves and we make it this big deal of, you know, diet this, diet that. When in your bodybuilding experience did you understand that it was a lifestyle change? Like, what triggered that for you, and like, what kind of message would you like to give to someone else?
Well, for me, I realized it worked for me. So in like 2017, when I started counting macros, it worked for me. I was full, I wasn't hungry, and I was getting nutritious food. I was sleeping better. I had more energy. I realized that the food I was eating was making me feel crappy. It was making me feel yucky, and it was making me feel like I couldn't sleep well.
Isn't that funny how we get so tied into the junk? It's so easy. And you realize, like, you wake up groggy. You wake, you know, you're tired after lunch. And it's like, hello.
And I'm not saying I don't eat, like, I don't treat. But for the most part, just really try to keep it reined in.
Well, I think I remember my old credit union career. I would literally eat out every day. I literally would leave and go through a quick drive-thru to go to the next location because I was always traveling. And, that feeling. When I was building our first location, moving the business forward, and got wrapped into kind of the same thing. Because you're just trying to survive. Mm-hmm. Parent, as a business owner, as someone who maybe has an incredible workload, or going through something, right, in your life. And I just, I'm like, this is not a good version of me. This is not, because I am puffy, and I always joke about my puffy eye bags. I'm tired and I am getting irritable and I can't sleep. If I were to get 5 or 6 hours sleep, I thought that was a win. And that is so unhealthy. So when you say, and it is so crazy, I think when you take the pressure off and you start realizing that certain things are fueling your body. That's what how you inspired me. When you realize that thing, you know, you have food that's fueling rather than, what do they say?
You live to eat versus eat to live.
Yes. Oh my gosh, I say that all the time. Obviously, my husband's so good. He eats to live. I used to live to eat. And I'm starting to flip the script. Explain that mindset change a little bit. What is your take on that? Like flipping that script?
So I grew up as a farmer's daughter, and meals were centered around a protein or like a meat, and then vegetables, and then a potato. And I think then you go into college, and then you're just about the easy, the convenient, like you mentioned, and things taste really good. I remember thinking box macaroni and cheese was way better than homemade macaroni and
cheese. I love macaroni and cheese.
And what I think helped me flip the script was trying to eat cleaner, trying to eat a protein with vegetable. And yes, potatoes. Yes, you can have potatoes, people. Mm-hmm. It's not bad for you. But then how that made me feel, that's what flipped the script on how much better I can feel.
Yeah, like you focus on the feeling. What I realized through my own like wellness journey, because I was like finally honing in on like what triggers the emotions behind it before and after eating. Honestly, like I went through this huge thing and I'm like, for me, it was always like a victory thing, a celebration dinner, a birthday get together. I deserve this because it was such a stressful day. I'm going to go get my favorite something. I don't know. Because of, there's many different reasons because of that. And even like if you think of at work, you do like work dinners and yes. You meet with clients and you can very easily connect eating and food and all that to your safe place, your positive, your whatever. But in turn, it was actually doing the opposite for me. So I don't know. You were definitely someone who opened my eyes to like a different way of looking at things. You've proved it because of your bodybuilding. But then when I met with you in the discussion, at the time, I don't know that I was in a great mindset by any means, but what I did learn is I'm definitely making it to be too hard. I'm making it harder on myself. And it's because, you know, I'm rewarding myself and I'm treating myself with the terrible food that I think is going to make me feel better. And it's not. And then after I eat that food, I'm like recovering from it. I started to like realize like, okay, you just did that. How'd that make you feel? And as I got busier with the boutique and just like leadership in general, I was like, I don't have time for that. Like I need to move faster mm-hmm. and I don't want to be tired and I want to be in my A game. And so what does that look like? It's been a journey because I've taken the battle away from it. To me, it's not a battle anymore. To me, if I want to be a leader and I want to do something, you know, at my highest level, like if I have a speaking event, I will eat really well. I'll make sure and do a couple extra runs. Like I just want to be my A game. And if that's what I got to do, for me, that is success compared to what I once before. I would maybe eat my anxious away or, you mm-hmm. know, who knows? It's different for everyone. Wouldn't you agree with that?
I totally agree with that. And also being like very mindful. So yeah. Like, I just want people to feel that way. So there is a meme that has like a Barbie doll and her face is black and her hair is like just frizzed out. And it's like, this is me trying to make sure I get my protein, my 10,000 steps, my gallon of water. And like, okay, let's just start with like when clients see me, it's like, all right, let's just start with macro counting because it is like a good 2 to 3 weeks before someone feels like, okay, I got this. Mm-hmm. And then let's incorporate movement and so on. Like yeah. We don't have to do it all right away.
How many people right now listening to this have gone through a fad of some sort? Like you cannot tell me you're not listening to this and have tried something. Even like the gallon of water a day challenge or like the different water bottle you had to buy because it had marks on it.
Like
9
you
a.m.,
did it.
10 a.m., 11 a.m. Abby? Abby's behind the scenes right now and she said, I feel attacked. Yeah, well, we've all been there.
Don't feel attacked, just feel heard.
Oh my gosh, we've all been there. But like, that is what I think, that's the issue. I think, don't you agree? Social media, online stuff, following the next quick thing.
Mm-hmm.
And ultimately, it is being mindful. It is listening to yourself.
Right.
And like your reactions to whatever that may be. And we're talking a lot about food in this moment, but it isn't just about that. So I'm just going to put that, you know, I think it was so neat when I got my metabolism tested. I got to tell this to you guys because I literally was like, oh man, Sarah sat down. I was doing this test at her house. Super simple, super easy. We'll have her explain here in a minute. And we get done and she goes, and you guys, I was probably at my heaviest weight too, but I haven't looked at a scale for years. I don't really care, but I just felt the worst, okay? So she did this test on me and I get done. And Sarah goes, wow, you have a really high metabolism. And I go, what? I really needed you to tell me it was failing. Like, so you're telling me I feel like this. And I have a really high metabolism. I don't think that's good feedback. So I must eat really bad. And sure enough, I think it confirmed that my habits were not the best for me. But anyways, I just had to tell you that because in the moment I was like, oh yeah, my metabolism's terrible. Like, I probably need to go to the doctors, take a pill. Exactly. Okay, now let's talk about the testing in itself and just how it works. I hope everybody here is intrigued at this point. We've talked about it a little bit. But what is it? How do you do it? And why is it a game changer?
So testing your metabolism through this VO2 test that I have involves clients not having anything to eat or drink beforehand except water and no exercise 12 hours prior because it's testing your metabolism at rest. That's where we want to get the baseline. You're breathing through a tube with your nose plugged for about 10 to 12 minutes until it finds your average metabolic resting rate. And then the results are instant right afterwards. It gets printed. The reason why it is so important is I have identical twin sisters. Mm-hmm. They are virtually the same human being. Mm-hmm. If you were to follow some sort of online guidance to figure out how many calories you should have in a day, it would take, you know, you're a female, so let's say that number is 2 and you times it by your weight and you divide it by your height or something, and then it tells you the calories. My sisters would have the same amount of calories allotted per day. When they took the test, there was 500 calories difference between their metabolisms. So this just gives a guidance, like 100% individualized result to you, to your personal body.
That's really neat. And how cool, like, for your sisters to have that to test, the two of them being identical twins. So that is, like, it's very, what do you say? Like, it's very tailored.
To you.
To your entire body.
Right.
And how it functions. That's pretty neat.
So it's a good starting point.
So how do you help someone determine what their body actually needs from there? So you do the testing. And then what? What happens next?
So the test tells the results of, like, hey, how many calories you should never go below, or the calorie range you should be in to lose weight, or the calorie range you should be in to maintain weight. I would say the majority of the people that come to see me want to lose weight. So we're sitting in that range, and that range usually is about 400 calorie range in the weight loss range. Mm-hmm. So then we talk about activity. Like, do you have a desk job where unfortunately you're sitting and you're working from home, you're sitting a lot? Or do you have a job like a nurse and you're up and you're walking and you're getting your 10 to 12,000 steps a day? That helps me decide where to put you and for the calorie mark for a goal.
It definitely makes a difference. When COVID hit and started working from home differently in my previous career, it's incredible the difference on your movement, like what that feels like and what that does to you. For me, looking at your calorie intake, I think counting your calories with your food and everything, and to me at first felt very daunting because I was like, I just don't have time. Like, how am I going to do that? What is the process from there? So you look at obviously your movement, look at your calorie intake. Then you move into, like, what is the next step as far as, like, nutrition and moving forward there?
So then I usually, then the first thing I start looking at is how many grams of protein, carbs, and fat should come from, like, let's just say, for example, the 1,500 calories. The first thing I decide is protein. So usually a client of mine will get, if their goal is to lose weight, I still try to make sure they get a gram to a gram and a half of protein per lean body weight. Why? Because if their goal is to lose weight, I don't want that to be muscle. Mm-hmm. Muscle drives your metabolism. So if we lose muscle, our metabolism slows down. Mm. And the reason why maybe your metabolism was fast is because you're an athlete and you have this muscle from, like, you know, from your even high school and college that's in you. Mm-hmm. And then as we get older and perimenopause, we're not getting those estrogen secretions anymore. That takes away our muscle. And so then that's why a lot of people during perimenopause can gain weight. So we want to protect that muscle. Protein first, and then making sure that fat is 30% of your calories. A lot of people think, well, I don't want to have a lot of fat because my goal is to lose fat. Fat is good for hormone regulation. It's good for joint lubrication and brain function. So if you don't get enough fat, you start to get the duh, like you forget where you are in conversations. Well, you're blanking out. And then last, we fill in the carbs. So the carbs are the extras to make sure we get to that calorie amount.
There's one thing, and I don't know, this might come up a little bit in our conversation, but there's one thing that I think about when, if someone is like listening to this and they're saying, well, I'm not going to be a bodybuilder. Mm-hmm. It isn't just about that. Like, that's how your journey started, and that was something that triggered you. But this is truly, truly for anyone. Tell me, like, who you've served so far, age range, who Men, women, everybody.
Sure. So I have had a few clients who have seen me younger who wanted to gain weight, to put on muscle.
Sure.
Super fun, young kids, and you can just give them all the calories. And that is fun to be able to tell somebody that.
Yep.
So males, I would probably say are probably like 10% of my clients. And the other majority is females of all ages, moms, 16-year-olds to, I would say, probably the oldest have been in the 60s.
Okay. Here is another thing I'm going to bring it back to. You know, if you're someone like me, and the test itself is so simple, and it might bring up a little bit of awareness like it did for myself. But the next thing is this. I was like, okay, Lens, macro counting. I'm like, oh, here we go. I've always wanted to do that. I've seen different fads of like putting food in cup. But this is like the real deal. Like you're actually basing what you're going to do from essentially science, because you have the test and then you move forward. And then I'm like, okay, Lens, you can do this. And day one and two, I was like, this is a lot of food.
Yes.
I actually, you said that to me. So you said, this is actually gonna be more food. So I think a lot of people believe you have to take it away. Food, you have to take food away from you. And that is not the case. It's a lot of food.
Right. And the cleaner you eat, the more food you get to eat. And I would say the majority of my clients feel full, or they text me, I am stuffed, like that first week.
Yep.
If you are hungry, you're not going to be successful. It's not going to be successful. Nobody wants to be starving.
And I can be your biggest advocate in this, is within a week to 2 weeks, A, the food is incredible. B, I already started feeling a difference in like being less fog, more awake. And I literally, you can tell my metabolism kicked on hard because I wasn't hungry and craving all the crap all the time. And I literally could eat every few hours.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when you know. So I was listening to my body, was mindful of what it was doing. And all of a sudden I was like, whoa. I think in 2 weeks, I learned mindfulness with how my body reacted to food. I started craving the really healthy, good stuff. Like the good stuff that fueled your body. From eating out every day to actually fueling my body, going through this kind of process. And that is the diamond in my life where I realized, wow, there is something different here in this entire health journey that I did not see before. That is my takeaway. And that is literally what changed things for me to find my own journey with all of this. Rather than having so much pressure about the fat or drinking a gallon of water a day or this or that, I kind of was on a mission at that point moving forward to find my personalized journey. So for someone who is a little overwhelmed with the idea or taking time to count macros, like what advice would you give them?
I would say give it 2 weeks and allow yourself grace and prep. Mm-hmm. If you have a few hours on a Sunday or a few hours during any time in the week, carve it out so that you can prep your proteins. Unfortunately, proteins need to be cooked. They're not an easy grab of a bag or a box, and so they need to be prepped, and that will help you stay more accountable.
You have talked to me about grocery shopping, what that looks like. Grocery shopping with intention, what does that look like for you and your clients?
So what I try to do is make a menu for the week, and usually for me, it's making sure like I eat the same four meals while I'm at work, and then I have a fifth meal at home. Yes, I eat five times a day. And so my fifth meal at home is usually with my husband, and that varies, like it kind of cycles through. So making a grocery list and then sticking to it. So then when I go to the grocery store, many of you may have heard this, but I really do only shop the perimeter.
Mm-hmm.
It's really like all the produce I need. So when I'm thinking of a meal and I'm like, oh, I'm going to have pork chops, green beans, and baked potatoes. So I know I need to get those vegetables that I need. Protein often is in our freezer already from a quarter beef that we get from a farmer or whatever, but I may need to get chicken, staying on the perimeter. And then the dairy section, yes, you can have butter, that's your fat, and also cottage cheese or Greek yogurt. Like those things are also protein. So you're staying on the perimeter. The only time I go down the aisle maybe is to get a salad dressing, wheat bread, or peanut butter. Those are like the only things that I, so that helps me stay accountable, but shopping with intention, not strolling down the aisle and looking like, oh, look at here, these Oreos. I love Oreos. And that way it's not temptation. It's not going in my cart.
As a mom,
Yeah.
Here's what I'm going to talk about my shopping experience lately. I've kind of gotten in it, something that we just talked about together. I have gotten into a new thing where, you know, my friends have kids over and friends over, and we have a cabinet that is supposed to be like free for all for the friends, because I want everyone to come over and feel comfortable. And if you want a little snack or you're hungry, I don't want you to feel that and not tell anyone. Like, I want you to feel comfortable. Grab a water, grab a snack. So I've gotten into recent habit as a mom of, you know, stocking that pantry with chips and granola bars and fruit snacks and all the things. And we're in the moment where it's like softball this, softball that, work this, you know, run from one thing to another, blah, blah, blah. And then I'm like, okay, wait a minute. When we sit down as a family and make dinner or grill, or that to me is my favorite thing. We can make better meals than any restaurant, right? And you start to crave the really, really great things in your life. And then I'm in this phase with the kids and I'm thinking, what's crazy is I'm feeling this for them, is what I'm thinking, right? Quick. And then I'm really hoping on Sunday night we can have this, you know, pork chop dinner, like you're saying, with potatoes and whatever. That's what we all love. Like, mm-hmm. That's the time that we need to take together and do it more often. And then when my daughter, one is going to go off to college here, which makes me so sad, but I'm thinking, all right, it's time to turn it up for her so we can teach her how to cook more items and whatnot. So we just had this conversation. And I'm like, you know, I'm 2 seconds away from completely going rogue on my pantry and throwing it all, not to go extreme, but to force us into a different type of pattern again. So I'm just being very aware. Mm-hmm. And we just, like I said, went through this discussion, and I would actually ask your advice for that kind of behavior and what your advice would be. But for me, I'm like, I just think we need to like bring it back. And it's just healthier options, because now more than ever, I'm seeing all the things on social media about what our food is made of. I'm on the Indie Foundation board. You understand a little more and a little more what this crappy food is mm-hmm. doing to us deeper.
Right.
So like, you know, from one extreme to another, mm-hmm. that is not what we should probably be doing. I would imagine you didn't bring me through a journey like that in any way, shape or form when mm-hmm. I spoke with you. But for someone who's like, that's it, I'm throwing away everything. Like, what would you say?
Well, number one is like, if I'm 6 week mentoring a client, mm-hmm. 6 weeks, I would say 6 out of 7 days you're tracking. And then there's a day where you're not tracking at all, because that can get a little obsessive. It can be an extreme. So a day that you're not tracking at all. If you wanted to go to a movie with your kids and you want to have the popcorn, great. If you wanted to go to a brewery with your husband and have a beer, or friends, have a beer. I think that the lifestyle, if you're going to make it a lifestyle, you can't go all in and you can't make it 100%. When I did the bodybuilding, I did it for 6 months straight. That isn't necessarily great on a marriage. Like, hey, let's go to a brewery. Okay, I'll watch you and I'm going to have water. You know, like, then they're like, well, then socially it's hard. It's hard, especially in Stearns County. But also there's a balance of like the United States. We allow way more foods than other countries. Mm-hmm. They wouldn't put Pop-Tarts. They don't make Pop-Tarts. They don't sell Pop-Tarts. Like, the food that is being sold and then that we think is okay because it's in our grocery stores and we feed to our children, unfortunately, it's scary.
You can go through a rabbit hole. But I think bring it back to the basics. Like you said, when you're like shopping around the outside of the grocery, for me, it isn't necessarily about going extreme. It's about being mindful, but then bringing it back to like, what do I want to teach my kiddos? And something so simple to me right now is like, I want to teach my girls how to cook.
Yeah.
To make really nice things. I know that if my oldest daughter goes to college, she's going to want to, I don't go that route. She's going to want to have Chipotle. I love Chipotle. Mm-hmm. She's going to want Chipotle every single day. And I don't care. Have Chipotle every single day. However, it costs a lot of money. You know? So anyways, what are some non-scale victories that matter just as much or that are more than just the number? Because the one thing I vowed to myself, especially after talking with you, that number means nothing. Mm-hmm. It really doesn't to me in any way, shape or form. And it really shouldn't, because everything you take into consideration, it's height, it's this, it's, you know, how your body was made. What are some other things that you really should be celebrated?
I personally love the self-confidence. Yes. Number one, hands down, if people come in more confident, I love that. Number two, as a nurse, I'm seeing younger and younger people that are type 2 diabetics. Mm. They're in their 30s. And that's something that used to be a diagnosis when I started nursing in 2000. That was like, oh, people who are in their 60s. Now we're seeing it younger and younger because of the unhealthy food and the unhealthy control of our blood sugar. So if anyone can have a high A1C or be a pre-diabetic and reverse that and get off of meds, Huge goal. That's a number. Yeah, I love that. And then more energy and sleeping better. Those are non-skill victories that I think that just helps us function better as human beings.
Couldn't agree with you more. So there, you know, everyone's going to go through their ups and downs and their hard days. And I'm sure you have on your own journey as well.
Mm-hmm.
I know you are so inspirational and vulnerable on social media when you're going through your own journey. Tell me, like, when you're going through a moment, what is your advice to lean in on your why?
One of my whys is I had a 14-year-old client. She went through four different options with a mom to try to figure out how can she lose weight. She was at a well child visit, and as they were putting on their coats, they never discussed weight at all with the pediatrician. That was never talked about. And as they're putting on their coats, the pediatrician said, you know, there are injectables or pills that you can take to lose weight. 14 years old. 14-year-old girl.
I don't even know how I'd react. If my daughter, I was in a room like that, that is really hard to hear.
So the mom called me and she's like, is there any way that you can help?
Yeah. That's like
mental health. Think young lady, think social media, think all the things. And now to this day, she keeps me updated and she is, I think she's 60 pounds down, and it's amazing and learning so much about health and learning so much about nutrition.
Mm-hmm.
Wonderful stuff. So she is a big reason why I do what I do, sure. Why I want to pour into that.
Okay, I love, like, that's incredible, Sarah, to be able to be a resource for young teens even. The thing that I think about when I was growing up is finding that healthy, how do you say it, bullseye. From my growing up, I'm afraid to go there because you don't want to asphyxiate on something. But ultimately, like, sports are so huge now. Like you said, some people want to get a little bit more lean. Some people want to add a little bit of weight, depending on a sport or this or that. But tell me, like, that's got to be a little bit challenging with young adults as far as, like, you know, looking at the scale and whatnot. And tell me about your process with teens, because what I'm hearing, having you as a resource for something like this, that's incredible for a health journey.
Mm-hmm. So when I'm dealing with anybody, I don't care for the word diet. I don't like it. I think we can use words like lifestyle. We can use words like healthy eating, use words like stronger versus skinny. I also, if there's any history of eating disorders, we don't need to do weigh-ins. Or if the scale makes you nervous and you become obsessive, we don't need to do weigh-ins. Otherwise, six-week clients usually do weekly weigh-ins so they can see their progress.
Sure.
Not needed if you have any sort of...
Gosh, and that makes sense. Because that is a really powerful, you know, topic that I have a few people in my life that have been down that road.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a powerful subject to talk about. And hopefully I can have them on the podcast sometime. So being incredibly careful, I think that's really neat. And talking with you and how this goes, aside from on this podcast, I'm very confident, you know, about that conversation and it, and you are so gentle in that, like, approach. And I think that's really neat. But yeah, rather than if someone's looking to you know, have a conversation about a teen be for whatever reason, so you tailor it essentially to, you know, the need and their
goals,
body type.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And their body type. Yes.
Cool. Very cool.
So when a test result comes out and, okay, we hear about calories, and we don't always want to necessarily hone in specifically on the calorie number.
Mm-hmm.
It is more now the nutrition that comes from those calories. So once we realize a calorie amount, that's fine. But now let's worry about the grams of protein, the grams of carbs, and the grams of fat we need to consume to fuel our body. That's what's going to give us our body energy. Not so much like tick, tick, let's worry about the calories much.
Okay. It's about putting puzzle pieces together on what makes you the best version of you.
Right. And those macros, the protein, carbs, and fat, all have a purpose. We talked about the fat. The carbs is the fuel. It also helps fight infection because there's vitamins, minerals, and carbs. So the strict no-carb diet, not a great idea. We need that. It's fuel. It's helping fight infections and things like that. So we need that and the protein as well for the muscle aspect.
For someone listening who might feel stuck, maybe a little discouraged, or feel like they failed in their health journey in some way, shape, or form, what would you say to them?
So I have people that say, oh, I need to reach out to you. And I think the number one thing I say to them is, when you're ready. Mm-hmm. So don't give up. Our health is so important, but when you're ready, reach out to me. Don't feel rushed. Don't feel like, oh, we got to get this done, because it's going to be a lifestyle change if you choose it to be. And you are enough. And I know that gets maybe overused, but you're enough. You're worth it. Your health is worth it.
I don't think that does get overused when you say you are enough. I think if you look someone dead in the eye in a meeting with them about their health journey, and you just straight up said that, I would almost think that like 90% of individuals probably break down crying. Because I think at the point, you know, there's different reasons that's leading up to someone being ready to have a conversation with you. And part of me believes that that phrase, you're enough, kind of is finally what they're yearning for, you know, or that validation they need to pour into yourself, mm-hmm. to give yourself that time. So yeah. That's a part of this health journey in general, not even just talking about the metabolic testing and everything. I think it's when we put ourselves first, finally.
Right.
I am so fortunate to have been following you on social media and obviously in person, but I would love to let everybody know here, the listeners, where can they connect with you and learn about your services?
Because of my age, it's usually Facebook.
I understand.
And then that's Metabolic Macro Mentoring. Mm-hmm. And then I also then just copy it often to Instagram. And yeah. I believe it's Metabolic Mentoring.
Okay.
There.
And honestly, on this, I'll have posting throughout the week. So I will definitely have your link on there.
Thank you.
I was just thinking, I'm like, for anybody listening to this, I think we should this week do like a test and video, like record what that looks like.
Oh, all right.
If you have someone coming in, that would be a great
test. If I could record that.
Hey, will you sign on the dotted line? But anyways, you guys, I will post Sarah's information for you all to follow for sure. Sarah, thank you for sharing not just your experience, but your heart. The way you connect with others without judgment and with so much compassion is truly what sets you apart. If there's one thing today about our conversation that reminds us, it's this. You cannot level up in any area of your life until you start taking care of you. Your health, physically, emotional, and mental, is just the foundation for everything else. And whether you're just starting your journey or you've been on this path for a while, Sarah's story shows us that hope, healing, and real change are possible. Let this be your reminder. You are worthy of feeling good, of having energy, of showing up fully, for your dreams, your family, and most importantly, for yourself. Sarah, thank you for being a voice of hope and a guide for so many. I am so grateful we had this conversation today.
Thank you. I am too. Thanks for having me.
Thank you for listening. If you found this information helpful, please share it with a friend. If you're looking for more information on the topics we covered, please head to the show notes below. And if you wouldn't mind leaving a 5-star rating and review, this would help this mission and our journey to get started. Let's make today and every day an opportunity to level up. Until next time, keep dreaming, keep striving, and keep making a difference.